all of those, Afghanistan and Pakistan and all of this Islamic, in the United, in the Russia, what they call the United, the Russia, what is the Jumhuriyat al-Islamiyah in Russia? All of these places, there's the empire. They said anyone of the Muslims, the young people, wants to get married, just marry him from the Bayt al-Mal. They just, everyone, if every Muslim wants to marry, he got married, and there is a lot of excessive money still. They said anyone that has a debt, just pay it from Bayt al-Mal. They paid all of the debts. Imagine an empire extends from the east to the west, from the north to the south. 2/3 of the known world at that time. This is what the empire, the Islamic empire. And after they said, anyone wants to go to Hajj, he goes on the expense of Bayt al-Mal. And it's still al-Mal in excess. And how long did this Khalifa govern? 2 years and a few months. And they were comparing him with who? They asked the Imam Malik, what do you think about this Khalifa? Is he better than Muawiyah, one of the Khalifa, radiallahu anhu ardan? He used to be the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, وَيْحَكُمْ وَيْحَكْ أُنظُرْ مَاذَا تَقُولْ. You just look what you're talking about. You resembling a man that he looked at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by a man that came way after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that gives you an idea. Whatever you reach, or whatever Khalifa or people reach to a top level, compared to one of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, equal nothing. There is no way to compare them together. So tonight, inshallah, we're going to talk about a Khalifa that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the humans and the jinn, they fear him. Both humans and jinn fear him. A man rough, tough, strict man, never cried before Islam to a soft heart crying personnel after Islam. We're talking about a Khalifa that he used to be tough, rough, never cried, hard to a man with a soft heart, crying when he hears the Quran al-Kareem. To a man unknown, negative, nothing before Islam, to a very famous leader, a very famous role model for all Muslims from the beginning, even at the time of the companions of Rasulullah ﷺ, to the end of the time. We're talking about Al-Khalifa al-Thani Umar radiallahu anhu arda. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to talk about the second Khalifa after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is Umar radiallahu anhu arda. Umar, ikhwan, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam starts the da'wah, he used to be 29 years old. He from a small tribe in Quraysh, not famous at all. His father was a rough, tough man, and he inherited this from his father. His father, Al-Khattab. And he stayed 6 years fighting against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the time of secret period of the da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca. 6 years. And at the year number 6 of da'wah, he became a Muslim. Radiallahu anhu arda. As we said, his job was the ambassador of the tribe of Quraysh. And you know, this job is not a very, you know, using job, because the tribe of Quraysh, they used to be a people of business. It used to be a commerce, a lot of commerce from Yemen and from Syria and Lebanon nowadays. During the winter and the summertime, they send their tribes, they send their caravans to Syria and Lebanon and that northern part of the Arab island in the summertime, to bring goods from there back to Mecca And then they send their caravans also into Yemen, the southern part of the Arab island, in the winter time. So actually Umar has no job actually in before Islam in Mecca, because the tribe of Quraysh, they don't use to fight with people. They have a lot of caravans. They need to live in peace to protect their commerce, you know, all over the Arab island. So he was not known before he became a Muslim, radiallahu anhu arda. Umar, he was 29 when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started the da'wah. He stayed 6 years fighting against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He inherited his rough and strict manners from his father. His mother's brother is Abu Jahl, and he inherited the animosity of Islam from his uncle Abu Jahl, Amr ibn Sham, la'natullah alayh. So a man, when you describe Umar, brothers, to put in your mind who we're talking about, describe him very big, tall man, wide, big man. When the companions of Rasulullah ﷺ used to gather, the only one that comes top and they are seen from far away are Umar and Khalid radiallahu anhuma. They were used to be very tall. If he rides the horse, his feet are dragging from the horse, radiallahu anhu arda. When you see him from far away, you think that he's riding a camel from how tall, and at the same time big body built, radiallahu anhu arda, with strong, tough, very tough and rough, radiallahu anhu arda. And he inherited the animosity against Islam from his uncle Abu Jahl. The fierce enemy, the pharaoh of this nation was Abu Jahl, la'natullah alayhi. And at the time, Umar decided, radiallahu anhu arda, to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a rough, tough, strong man. Look at people of Quraysh. You know, fathers become against their sons, and sons against fathers, because the most of the young generations, always the young ones that they follow. But the elderly ones, they inherited and live all of their life in this pagan religion in Quraysh, so they did not change. Most of the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, young people, youth. Umar, when he got into Islam, how old? 35. Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, 38. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, young, 40 years old. Ali, 9 years old. All of the companions, the biggest companions, Zubair, 16 years old. The majority of them were young youth. The followers that followed, the majority were young people that follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he decided to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He just wore the his sword and the form of war. He puts all of these shields in his chest and his body, and he went, was very angry, and he said, "I'll kill Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." That differentiate between the father and the mother, the wife and the husband, the tribes, everybody was has a bad, you know, they look at it this way. And then while he's going, there was a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His name is Na'im ibn Abdullah. Na'im ibn Abdullah. Na'im used to be the cousin of Umar. He looked at Umar, see him in that chair. He said, "Where are you going, Umar?" He said, "I'm going to go and kill Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And he said, "Why? Man, what are you talking about? Muhammad, you see, the tribe of Umar was not a famous kind of fakhdh in Quraysh, but the tribe of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bani Abd Manaf, was the top of the leaders of Mecca, the leaders of Quraysh, the leaders of all of the Arabs. The grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be the leader of Mecca, and means leader of Mecca means the leader of all the Arabs. And his uncle, after his grandfather, his uncle Abdul Muttalib used to be the leader of Mecca. So this is the top family in Mecca," he said. "You think that the people of Muhammad, the tribe of Bani Abd Manaf, are going to let you live after you kill Muhammad?" He said, "I don't care. Everybody used to scare from the tribe for revenge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they do not, they hate him, they bother him, they fire with him, they insult him, but they cannot just go, because anybody killed, the revenge, he's going to be killed. Except Umar. He decided, okay, even if they kill me, I'm going to kill him and finish this matter in Mecca. And then Nahim, he thought about it. He said, if you want to start, you start with your brother-in-law and your sister first. Umar, he said, what are you talking about? Because Rasulullah SAW, in the secret time, they used to be families together. And they used to be the sister of Umar, Fatima, and her husband, Sa'id, radiallahu anhuma, they used to be Muslims. And Rasulullah SAW bring those as a family, husband and a wife, and their cousin, you know, Na'im. And he sent one of the beginners, one of the companions, to teach them and recite the Quran and teach them the fundamentals that they learned from Rasulullah SAW secretly. They go to their house secretly and start reciting the Quran and teaching them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about the talk of Rasulullah SAW. Then he said, if you want to start, instead of going to Muhammad, start with your sister and her husband. Her husband was the cousin of Umar. Then he said, they said, yes. Then Umar, the companion of Rasulullah doesn't want him to go to Rasulullah, but he wants him to go this way. A little harm will happen to this family, Islamic family, but he goes to Rasulullah and warn him. So they get ready, because this man is, he got an intention, and he, when he wants to do something, he go to the end of it. So then he went, instead of going to kill Rasulullah, he went to start with his sister and his brother-in-law. And once he got there, big, huge, he knocked the door hard. Oh, they knew this is Umar. Bin Khabbab ibn al-Arat, one of the companions, they hide him. They hide him from Umar. And his sister opened the door for him, his brother-in-law, and he said, did you, sabah means change your face. Did you change your face? He said, no, I have become a Muslim. And then Umar, he hit him hard, he threw him on the ground. Then his sister, Umar's sister, went to defend her husband. Then Umar hit her too, threw her in the ground and cut her earring, and her mouth started bleeding. Just one hit, to show how big and how strong. Then when he calmed down and he see that he hit his sister, he just start calming down, Umar radiallahu anhu arda. And he said, just give me the Quran, what you used to recite before I knocked the door. They said, no, you're a najis. You cannot touch the Quran. Then he said, no, I swear with the Lat and the Uzza, his gods, you know, idols, with the Lat and Uzza, I'll never damage or do any harm to this Quran. They said, okay, if you want to touch the Quran, look at the story, how Umar, one of the biggest enemies of Islam, became a Muslim like this, subhanallah. And he went, and he do ghusl, and he came, and they gave him the Quran. And at the beginning of Surah Taha, طه ما أنزلنا عليك القرآن لتشقى إلا تذكرة لمن يخشى تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلى الرحمن على العرش استوى. And starts reciting the first ربع of جزء from Surah طه. And all of these strong words, and as we said before, the Quran, brothers, before, they don't need to explain. They just recite the Quran. The Arab was the genius people in the language. They reach a limit into the language and poetry until they make poetry holy. They have the holy poetry. They keep that holy poetry, four or five of them, inside the Kaaba. This is how they reach. And there is no language on earth or all over the history as rich as the Arab language. And this is the language of the people in paradise. This is the language of the angels. They speak the language, the Arabic language. You see how deep the Arabic language. Each word in English, for example, you get maximum 12 derivatives out of each root word. But in Arabic you get more than 40 derivatives. You see, a man, one time he wants from the Arab to marry his cousin, and then his uncle refused, and he said, her jewelry is to go and kill a lion that was threatening the tribe. Then the man went and fight the lion and kill him and bring his head. This is a jewelry for his cousin. And once he married her, he said a poetry. And he said 100 lines in that poetry. And he mentioned the line was 100 different names. There's no language in earth you can mention one creature with 100 names. And a lot of us as Arabs, if we mention these names, we don't know. We don't know it. But this is how rich the Arabic language is. When they hear the Quran, because they taste the language, when they hear the Quran, then they knew that no human can come with something like that. Then Umar, once he hears the Quran, because people of Mecca, they were making the same way like nowadays. They're making a lot of smoke around the Islam. Oh, Islam is marrying more than one wife. Islam is terrorism. Islam is kissing the ground 5 times a day. Islam is Islam. But when somebody goes and just you let him read the Islam, the Quran, clearly, without interpretation from misguided ones, then he just find out what a treasure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Muslims are introducing for mankind. Then Umar, the same way, he used to be in Mecca, in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But no way he could hear the Quran clearly, relaxing and listen to the Quran the way that he wants guidance. And the people of Mecca, they did not let anybody to listen to the Quran. You know, Tufail ibn Amr, he used to be a leader of one of the Arab tribes. And people of Mecca, when he came to Mecca, they told him, oh, be careful of Muhammad. This guy, he has something magic. You hear it, either you intend or you don't intend, or accidentally you hear it, he makes his magic on you. So, just start warning him from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until he put the kurfus. He filled his ears with cotton, so he cannot hear nothing, accidentally or intentionally. Because the strength in the Quran, the language that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is simple. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenge ta, ha, ta, the letter ta and the letter ha, to tell humans and to tell, you know, the Arabs, the leaders in the language, that we did not bring the Quran different letters and different words. It's the same letters that you're using, ta and ha. We made the Quran from these letters. Make something like that. Challenge or bring one ayah similar or comparative with the Quran. Then once Tufail ibn Amr, he thought about himself, am I crazy? I'm a futurist and I'm a man who can taste what is good and what's bad. And he threw the kurfus, he threw the curtain out of his ears, and he listened, and he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him until he recited the Quran. Immediately, once he recited the Quran, immediately they knew, because they know no nation on earth could know language better than those. Futurist, a man could just do a khutbah from sunrise to sunset without repeating one word. One word, no repetition. If you ask somebody to do a khutbah, intelligent khutbah, with no, not explanation like we're doing like now. You know, they're talking, if you listen to this Arabic, you can't, you know, if you're speaking Arabic, you can't understand this Arabic, because it's high level. So they know what's good and what's bad. Umar, once he hear that, he said, Dulluni ala Rasulillah, Dulluni ala Muhammad. See, the first thing he starts to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he hear the Quran and he recognized that no human could bring that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking into the beginning of this, I just go home and read it. The beginning of Surah Taha. You know, you will find beautiful, beautiful Quran and direct call from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I'm the only God. I'm the only one. No gods beside me. So back to our subject, Umar became a Muslim and he said, Dulluni, guide me to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to declare my Islam in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Khabbab, the companion that used to be hidden, he comes out jumping and said, I guide you. And he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the news came to him that Umar is ready to kill him. And they did not see what happened in Umar's sister's house. So Umar is going to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knocking the door, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the companions, he's teaching them. They look from the a hole in the door, find Umar with the sword. Oh, Umar is coming to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Sayyidina al-Hamza, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to be the same age of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, you Rasulullah, you open the door for him. And if he needs good, we give him good. he needs bat, I'll kill him with his own sword. You see, Hamza was, radiallahu anhu arda, his hobby is to kill lions before Islam. So he was well trained, Umar body, strong body, but not a genius in fighting like Hamza. The Rasulullah said, all of the companions, get out, get inside. Everybody, get inside. The man is coming with the sword to kill Rasulullah, and Rasulullah asked Hamza, the best fighter in Mecca, to get in. All of them, they follow the order of Rasulullah. Rasulullah opened the door and bring Umar from this huge big thing and pull him down upon his knees and said, Ama ana laka an tuslim yabn al-Khattab. It's not time for you, he's the son of al-Khattab, to be a Muslim. Then he said, قَدْ آنَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. It's the time now. And he said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. And he became a Muslim. SubhanAllah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides those, just they hear the Quran. They don't need to sit with you and explain, oh, this is good ideology, mashallah, and straightening your life, no alcohol, no smoking, you know, you respect the wife, you're responsible on charge of the family, you know, you explain. No, they don't need to do that. They just recite the Quran. And this is the miracle. This is the miracle of Rasulullah ﷺ, is that living Quran among us. Then after Umar radiallahu anhu arda became a Muslim, it became a different era of Islam. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu arda, one of the companions, he used to say, before Umar became a Muslim, we cannot, none except Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only he prays in the Kaaba in front of Quraysh, disbelievers of Quraysh. But the weak people like Ibn Mas'ud, no, nobody could pray except Umar. Once Umar became a Muslim, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahu Akbar, very loud. The people of Mecca heard this loud, said, something happened, must be. And Rasulullah ﷺ asked him to, because this is a different man. Once he get into Islam, he changed a lot into Islam. What happened? That he went, Umar did not. All of the companions, they used to hide their Islam. They don't tell anybody about it. But Umar went to the people of Mecca. Where is the news? The guy, they said, a guy called Jamil ibn Muammar. This man, he tell him something, he will go all over the city in no time. He said, you, Jamil ibn, you didn't know? He said, what? He said, I ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. He looked at him this way. But I tell you, Jamil, do not tell anybody. Jamil did not answer him at all. And immediately went to every group of people saying, do you know Umar ibn al-Khattab become a Muslim and he changes? No. And Umar behind him said, no. They used to say a bad word for the one gets into Islam, change his religion, Saba. But then Umar said, no, I become a Muslim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Then people of Mecca start attacking Umar. The first one that chose Islam in front of big, huge man. They hit him once, he hit them seven. They start fighting from the beginning of the day till the sunset. Fighting, he fight them down. They couldn't do anything to him. And he prayed in front of them in Mecca. And bring the companions with them. So Umar, they start behind Umar praying in Mecca. And it's a different era. Islam become, you know, hidden. Nobody knows about it. Now, Umar radiallahu anhu, with the power, fight them back and forth, until he got so tired of them fighting with them. Then he couldn't, you know, 50, 60 people fighting you, even if you're strong, but he bring one of his leaders, and he pulled him, put him down, put his fingers into his eyes, and said, if you did not ask him to leave me alone, I'm going to take your vision. Then he said, oh, leave him alone. Then he left Umar ibn Khattab, and starts a different era. And no one in Mecca could fight him at all. He just go to your places and explain Islam to them and just push them and tell them that none of the Muslims before used to do that at all. And then he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to declare Islam to the people of Mecca. Then it was time for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to declare, instead of moving from the secret stage of da'wah into the apparent stage right now, the second stage. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he bring the Muslims right now, not from the slaves, but the Muslims from Quraysh, They're not slaves. And he brought them in two rows, Umar radiallahu anhu arda in the top of one of those rows, and Hamza in another one, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of them, and saying Allahu Akbar, and went to Mecca. And the people of Mecca, once they saw them, they start feeling miserable. Why? Because those two strong men, Hamza and Umar, are the top, and nobody could do anything to them, especially Umar radiallahu anhu arda. So it's, and at that time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him Al-Faruq, the differentiator, the meaning of it, that differentiate between the two stages of Islam, the secret stage and the apparent stage right now, radiallahu anhu arda. So Umar radiallahu anhu arda starts a different time, a different era, and all of the companions used to be, you know, hurt or upset, or the people of Mecca hurt them or bothered them, annoy them, or sometimes beat some of them, except Umar. And he used to hate that, and he used to interfere to the people. Once he became a Muslim, the first night he went to his uncle Abu Jahl, knocked the door. Oh, my nephew, you didn't know what happened? He said, what happened? He said, I declare no God but Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his messenger. Then he set the door in front of his nephew and said, قبحك الله, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may insult you. So Umar, once he starts different, one man, but not equal to any other, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be between those two, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu arda. And Umar, ya akhwan, Rasulullah said a lot of hadith about him, and all of it authentic hadith. In Sahih Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, بينما أنا نائم إذ عرض علي الناس وعليهم قمص. While I was asleep in the ru'ya, and ru'ya الأنبياء حق, the dream of the prophets are truth, not like the dream of me and you. No, the dream of the prophets is the truth, it's a way of revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, while I was asleep, the humans are presented, are introduced to me, and they have shirts on, and one of them, some of them, they have their shirts to their chest, and some of them, they have their shirts lower than that. And وَعُرِضْ وَمَرَّ عَلَيَّ عُمَرْ وَعَلَيْهِ قَمِيصٌ يَجُرُّ, and Umar has passed by me with the shirt, he's dragging it behind him. They said, وَمَا أَوَّلْتُهُ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, what is the interpretation of this dream, Rasulullah? He said, الدين, the strength of faith. You see, Rasulullah is an authentic hadith that humans or human beings, they are presented to me with shirts on them. Some of these shirts, they reach their chest, and some of them, they reach lower than that. While I'm looking, Umar radiallahu anhu arda passed by with the shirt, he's dragging it behind him. He said, what is the explanation or interpretation of this dream? He said, this is the strength of faith. Humans have, you know, strength that equal to that much, equal lesser than that, and Umar has a strength of faith that he's dragging it behind him. How about ilm and knowledge? Rasulullah s.a.w. said in another hadith, authentic hadith in Muslim, that بينما أنا نائم إذ بقدح فيه لبن. While I was asleep in his dream sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw a container of milk, a cup of milk, and it has milk in it, and he drinks from it sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فشربت منه حتى إني لأرى الري في أظافري. I drink from it until I see it, or I see the freshness getting into my nails. And I gave the lift over to Umar. They said, what is the interpretation of that, Rasulullah? He said, al-ilm, the religious knowledge. We're not talking about a regular person, we're talking about a man that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said a lot of hadith about him. Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu arda, once he became a Muslim, late after the battle of the Khandaq. What happened to him? Rasulullah said, 6 months after he became Muslim, he made him a leader with the army. Umar and Abu Bakr were soldiers underneath him. So he said that Rasulullah loves him, or he is better than all of his, you know, Umar and Abu Bakr are in his army. Then he, once he came back, he asked Rasulullah, you Rasulullah, this is the authentic hadith in Bukhari. He asked him, who's the most loved one to you? The Rasulullah answered, Aisha, his wife, Aisha radiallahu anhu arda. Then he said, no, from the men. We're not talking about your wife, from the men. He said, Abu Bakr. Then he said, who else? He said, Umar radiallahu anhu arda. So it goes, this is the most loved, the closest one to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhum, radiallahu anhumah. So a man came from the Badia, those people that they live in the desert, far away from the cities. Mecca considered a city compared to a person living, they are illiterate people. So they kind of, they're not shy. They used to ask Rasulullah ﷺ right away. The Sahaba used to love those, because Sahaba, they want to ask, but they're shy to give the question right away to Rasulullah ﷺ. And they wait until somebody like this coming from Badia, illiterate, oh, give the question right away. They ask Rasulullah ﷺ, متى الساعة, when is the end of the time? The Rasulullah said, وَمَاذَا أَعْدَدْتَ لَهَا, what did you prepare for it? He said, مَا أَعْدَدْتُ كَثِيرًا صَوْمٍ وَلَا صَلَاةٍ, I did not prepare a lot of fasting, a lot of praying, but I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Rasulullah said, إِنَّ الْمَرْأَ إِنَّكَ مَعَ مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ, you will be with what you loved. The companions loved this hadith very much. And Anas radiallahu anhu arda, one of the companions, he said, I love this hadith because I love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr and Umar. So I'll be with them inshallah. So look, you know, when you're talking about always explanation from Rasulullah, Abu Bakr and Umar. And in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in authentic hadith in Muslim, that بينما أنا نائم إذ بقليب إذ رأيت قليبا. Qalib means a well, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He saw while he was asleep, he saw in his dream, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a well. And when he saw that well, he said, فأخذتُ, and he took from this well, this well has a dalu. وَبِهَا دَلْوٌ, دَلْوٌ means that bucket with the pulley on the top of the well, while you pull the water. فَنَزَعْتُ مِنْهَا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ, I pulled and I drew out of this well what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits me. ثُمَّ أَخَذَهَا إِبْنَ أَبِي قُحَافَ, and after that, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, he's the son of Abu Quhafa, he took that bucket. وَنَزَعَ ذَنُوبًا أَوْ ذَنُوبَيْنِ, and he drew one bucket or two buckets from it. ثُمَّ اسْتَحَالَتْ غُرَبًا, and after that it becomes big, 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 huge bucket. فَأَخَذَهَا عُمَرُ بْنِ الْخَطَّابِ, and Umar took it after that. This bucket would become very huge. فَلَمْ أَرَى عَبْقَرِيًّا يَحْذُو حَذْوَهُ, I never saw a genius, a strong man, do what Umar done رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. This is the authentic hadith. The meaning, the explanation, the ulama said, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم talking about the khilafah of Abu Bakr and Umar. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم saw in his dreams that there is a well and there is a bucket with a pulley on the well. Rasulullah ﷺ pulled out of it, you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits him, and Abu Bakr came after him. You see, remember Rasulullah ﷺ, when he died, when he passed away, he did not give the khilafah to Abu Bakr or Umar or no, none of them. But look at the hadith, the explanation of the hadith, that after that it's been taken by Ibn Abi Quhafa. Then Ubayn, the one that took or recites the hadith about Rasulullah ﷺ, he has a doubt. Did Rasulullah ﷺ said one or two? But actually it's two, because Abu Bakr is staying in Khilafah for 2 years. فَنَزَعَ ذَنُوبًا أَوْ ذَنُوبَيْنِ وَفِي نَزْعِهِ ضَعْفٍ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَهُ, and in his way of governing, because you see Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu arda, in his time, 2 years, he was busy fighting the one that they returned back in Islam in the Arab island. And then came after that, it extends and expands. What extends and expands? The Muslim empire. After Umar, after Abu Bakr died, expansion. They took over the Persian empire. Huge, big empire, say thousands of years. And the Roman Empire too, the same time, simultaneously. Expands. And Rasulullah says, فَلَمْ أَرَى عَبْقَرِيًّا, I never see a genius, a strong man like Umar radiallahu anhu arda. And because the khilaf of Umar was very long and the expansion of the Muslim Empire was great. So this is a lot of hadith about Umar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised Umar while he's walking in earth paradise. See, in the authentic hadith in Bukhari, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu arda, one of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I will go and look for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I'll be his guard today. The guard in the door where he's going to stay. He looked for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He found him in a hut, in a garden, one of the of the Ansar. And he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said salam, and he will be, I'll be your guard keeper today, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, alright. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he found a well. He pulled his clothes and he dragged his feet and sit at the edge of the well. Hang his feet from on the top of the well. And then a man came and knocked the door. Then he said, who? He said, Abu Bakr. He said, okay, wait until I take permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, you Rasulullah Abu Bakr at the door, and let him in. He said, let him in, and promised him give him glad tidings of paradise. He will be in paradise. He opened the door, let him in, and tell him that Rasulullah ﷺ is promising you will be in paradise. He said, went on the right hand side of Rasulullah ﷺ, sit and do the same thing that Rasulullah ﷺ, and drag and hang his feet on the well, and sit on the right hand side of Rasulullah ﷺ. After a while, another one knocked the door. Sayyidina Abu Musa said, who? Said Umar. He said, wait until I take permission from Rasulullah. He went to Rasulullah ﷺ, he said, alright. No, promised him he will be in paradise. He went to Umar. Remember, this is the man that Rasulullah ﷺ promised him to be in paradise. And he opened and he led him, and then Uthman the same way. So this is hadith in the Bukhari, authentic hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ. So somebody come, or some humans, whoever they are in Islam, and start insulting those great big leaders that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always, even when Umar died, brothers. When Umar died, radiallahu anhu arda, we're going to tell later the story of his death. Okay. Then when he died, and they put him in the coffin, and they carried him, all of the Muslims, they gathered around Umar radiallahu anhu arda, crying, and they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him and for thawab and remember him. And Ibn al-Abbas is the one that telling the hadith, narrating the hadith, and he said, and I got surprised by a man behind me. He's saying, I never like for my deeds to be like anybody but Umar radiallahu anhu arda. And he looked behind him and he found this man is Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu arda. And he said, always I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, I came, me and Abu Bakr and Umar. I went, me and Abu Bakr and Umar. I entered, me and Abu Bakr and Umar. Always Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with those big great companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whoever insults those, he got something wrong with his mind. Those, especially the two great ones of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is warning, لا تسبوا أصحابي. Nobody better than Abu Bakr, and then after Abu Bakr, Umar. No one at all in Islam. Abu Bakr and then Umar. So whoever insults him, he got something wrong with his mind. He does not understand Islam. He does not follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, getting back to our subject, Umar Ikhwan radiallahu anhu ardah used to be a rough, as we said, rough, tough man before Islam. After he became a Muslim, his heart softened by the rules of Islam, by the reciting of the Quran al-Kareem. They used to describe him white and they used to describe him black. How come? Abiyat and Aswad. They said the people describe him white before he became the Khalifa of Muslimin. He used to eat fresh, good. You eat good food, you look pretty good and fresh. But the ones that describe him, he's dark or black. The time when the Maja'ah happened in the Islamic Empire. When the Maja'ah happened, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu refused to eat at all but bread and oil. You know, the time, vegetable oil. You know, he eat only bread, and not bread, good bread from wheat right now. No, it's from Sha'ir. Something you cannot even. So he just prevent until every Muslim become rich and eat good. Until Umar starts eating any kind of meat, radiallahu anhu arda. So at that time, his face, you don't eat good food and stuff, you feel your face starts getting dark. This is Umar. And they used to describe him, there is two black, dark lines in his face from the way he used to cry, radiallahu anhu arda. Never recite the Quran until he cries from the fear of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran, ikhwan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came in about 40 situations, you know, fulfilling the opinion of Umar radiallahu anhu arda. See, Umar used to love drinking before Islam. You see, the khamr, even the companion used to drink until the ayah came, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la taqrabu as-salata wa antum sukara. You who believe, do not get or do not pray while you're drunk. So the sahaba, the only one that never drink in jahiliyyah or Islam is Abu Bakr only. But Umar used to drink. But after Islam came, Umar always, and he always declared that he likes for, yani he likes to get a, to for them to get a Quran from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prevent, to inhibit drinking. Then the ayah came, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la taqrabu as-salata wa antum sukara. You who believe, do not pray while you're drunk. Until the ayah, and he was not satisfied with that. And he used to tell that to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to the companions until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran of no. Innama al-khamru wal-maisru wal-azlamu wal-ansabu rijzu min amal shaitan fashtanibu. Order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that drinking is an act of the Satan and he should be away completely from it. The hijab, the ayat is hijab. You see, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to come to people regularly, and Umar radiallahu anhu wants always, and he used to suggest that they should talk with people from behind, a curtain, behind something, until the ayah of hijab came. Umar radiallahu anhu, after the battle of Badr, he, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bring the companions and said, the top of the companions, not everybody, because not everybody is good opinionated. Not everybody can decide or have good opinions, wise people. Abu Bakr, Umar, Ali radiallahu anhum jami'an, one from the Ansar, and he asked him, what do we do with the prisoners of war, you know, the Asra of Badr. Umar radiallahu anhum said, every one of them, you give Hamza, his brother, Al-Abbas, the uncle of Rasulullah, to slaughter him. And you give Ali ibn Abi Talib, his brother, Aqil, to kill him with his own hands. And you give me my cousin to kill him. Everyone his relative, so that these believers know that we don't have nothing but just that destruction for them. The Rasulullah, see, Rasulullah, Allah created him this way. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him as a mercy for all the creation, for all the creatures, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even the animals. So he just got, you know, very scared of the opinion of Umar radiallahu anhu arda. And then he asked Abu Bakr, he said, Ya Rasulullah, those are the relatives, and may Allah will guide them, we'll let them go with certain amount of money, and then Rasulullah feel comfortable for the, because this is the nature of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Umar radiallahu anhu arda used to be a tough, tight nature, but with absolute fairness. We're going to give you, inshallah, a lot of examples right now how he was. So a lot of opinions. When this the leader of the hypocrites, Abdullah ibn Ubayy, he died, and his son Abdullah, he got a son, but a good companion, not like his father. His father Abdullah is a hypocrite, and he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "You Rasulullah, give me your dress to do it as a kafan for my brother, my father." The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving him his dress, and then he Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "You would you mind to come and pray on my father?" He said, "No, I'm going to stand in front of Rasulullah." Said, "No, Ya Rasulullah, don't go and pray for his father. His father is a hypocrite." And Allah said in the Quran Kareem, "You know, استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم. Ask forgiveness for them or don't ask for the forgiveness for them. إن تستغفر لهم سبعين مرة لن يغفر الله لهم. If you ask forgiveness even 70 times for them, Allah will never forgive them. They're hypocrites, hypocrisy." And this used to talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about his wife and about his him badly, and he annoyed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his life. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the people said that he does not want to retain this companion, his son, which is a good believer. He doesn't want. He asked always Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "If you ask him for anything, he never said no, except when he said, 'Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.'" The la, the no of tashahud. There is no God. This is the only no that he used to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a man one time came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he got a beautiful, beautiful dress. And they loved, this dress was a gift for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they loved, the companions loved to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a wonderful, beautiful dress. And then this man of the companions said, "You Rasulullah, give me this dress." Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went right away and take it off. The companion said, "You know that if anybody tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me something, he never say no. Why did you do that? We love to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this dress." He said, "I did not ask for it to wear it. I'm asking for it to be my kafan, the one that I'm gonna be wrapped when I die in it." He said, this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is his students, Umar radiallahu anhu arda. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran in the opinion of Umar, saying, "Wala tusalli ala ahadin mata minhum abada." Do not pray in none of the hypocrites at all, completely. You see, a lot of opinions that Umar radiallahu anhu arda, until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Qad kana fima qabla fil umam qablakum muhaddathun aw mulhamun." In the nations before you, there used to be people that they are right opinionated. They have the right opinion always. In my ummah, if there is, Umar is one of them. He always looks like some kind of revelation. No revelation, he's not a prophet or anything. But it's like kind of revelation for the right, correct decision always come to his heart. Radiallahu anhu arda. Umar. So a lot of things that always the Quran come to bring the opinion. In that battle of Badr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same opinion that Umar wants for the Muslims to slaughter those disbelievers, to know, to show them the shiddah and the umm, and there is no slack down from fighting them. And the Quran came with the opinion of Umar radiallahu anhu arda. Umar, ya akhwan, as we said, rough, tough, strong man. But when it comes to حقوق, a man came to him and saying beautifully to him, يا عمر الخير لك الجنة أكسو أولادي وأمهن أقسمت بالله لتفعلن. He's saying beautifully to Umar. He said, يا عمر الخير لك الجنة. You Umar, the good for to get to paradise. Do the good. يعني, be good to me. أكسو أولادي وأمهن. Give me a clothes for my children and their mother. تكسو أولادي وأمهن أقسمت بالله لتفعلن. I swear by Allah you do that. And he asking Umar in a way of beauty. And Umar is Amir al-Mu'mineen, and he's telling him, "Yo Umar, you know, do good so you go to paradise. Do good. Give me a clothes for my wife and my children. And I swear by Allah you should do that to me." He said, "Oh no, if I don't do that." He said, "Wallahi anni latus'alanna. I swear by Allah, Allah will ask you about me and my family. Wallahu anni, wallahi anni latsalana yawma takunu al-a'tayatuhunna, in the day where it should be either way, either heaven, paradise, or hell. Umar radiallahu, this strong big man, he went down crying radiallahu anhu arda, and he said, give him 200 dinar for my own money, for the heat of that day, not for his beauty. This strong big guy, tough, rough, when he reminds him, he said, give me, and if you don't give me, Allah will ask you about me and my children. In the day where that you're going to be giving either paradise or hell, he just fell down crying radiallahu anhu arda, and he said to the command, give him 200 dinars from my own money for the heat of that day, not for the putri, because a lot of governors and khalifas before, one putri come to them and say, some putri, they give him 1,000, give him 2,000. No, not for his putri, but for the heat of that day. Radiallahu anhu arda. And he used to, you know, one time, you say he become Amir al-Mu'mineen, become the first man. And Amir al-Mu'mineen, one of the Persian Empire, he wants, one of the Christians, he wants to see Umar. And he thinks Umar is Amir al-Mu'mineen. When the Romans and somebody here, they pee in their pants when they hear his name. You know, and this guy, they expect, you know, big kingdom, big huge stuff, you know, soldiers, guards, guns, everything goes around him. I said, where is Umar? He said, they looked at him in his house, he's not there. They said, he's in the mosque. They went to the mosque, everybody was, it was noontime, everybody sleeping in the mosque. And they said, oh, this guy, this tall one, the tall in between. He said, this is Umar? This is Amir al-Mu'mineen? This is the one that everybody is scared, dried and nipped from him? He said, he must be a prophet too. No guards, nobody around him? He said, no, nobody around him. He's not a prophet, but he followed the same way of the prophet, radiallahu anhu arda. And they said, حَكَمْتَ فَعَدَلْتَ فَأَمِنْتَ يَا عُمَرَ. Why he's scared from people? He become a leader, he governed, and he become fair, absolutely fair, and he got safe completely. Who's going to kill a man like this, radiallahu anhu arda? No guards. The command, this is the leader. Anybody could just talk to him, and absolute fairness. Even one of the Egyptians, we told you the story that before. They have horses riding, and this Egyptian used to be a Christian, and he passes his horse, you know, wins upon the horse of the son of the governor, Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu. He has a son, his name is Muhammad, and when he knew that, he just went and hit this Egyptian, and he told him, I'm from the Arabs, you know, some stuff like that, the arrogant kind of. This man drove to Umar. He went, got his ride, his horse, and, you know, ride until he went to Saudi Arabia in Medina. And he went to Umar ibn Khattab and told him the story. He hit me, you know, with a sword a lot of times, and he said, I'm from the owner, from owner of the owner, you Egyptian Christian. And Umar sent immediately the mail to his father, to this guy and his father, Muhammad and Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu arda. And he asked him to bring your son with you. He said, Amr ibn al-As, bring his son. Did you do something wrong? What did you do? The Amir al-Mu'mineen is asking about you. He said, no, I didn't do it. Bring him. And once he kept that Christian man in there, and he gave him the sword and did beat him up the same way he beat you up. This is the fairness. There's no, when this is, it doesn't make no difference, you're Muslim or non-Muslim, this is a human right. This is what Islam established for people. And this Christian beats that Muslim in front of his father. And he said, and the Sahaba, when they hit this Christian, because this is absolute fairness, we did not, Islam doesn't come to slave humans or to slave anybody. Anybody have the right. The same way they've done to you, you do to them. So Umar radiallahu anhu arda, and the Sahaba loved to do that, and they said he beat him up in front of Umar and in front of his father until they hoped that he quit, and they quit. He said, beat his father too. He said, no, I beat whoever beat me. And then this guy said, look at the fairness of Umar radiallahu anhu arda. This Christian Qibti guy, he enters Islam because of that manners of Umar radiallahu anhu arda. No, nothing like that is happening anywhere nowadays. And he said the most famous word, مَتَ اسْتَعْبَدْتُمُ النَّاسِ وَقَدْ وَلَدَتْهُمْ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ أَحْرَارًا. When you slave humans, when their mother has born them free. This is Umar, ya ikhwan, radiallahu anhu arda. So if we start talking about Umar, we'll never finish at all. And inshallah, maybe next time we'll complete talking about Umar, radiallahu anhu arda. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خير على السماء.